Amen. Appreciate that. Let's turn, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Looking this morning at the first one in or the last one in. 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. And we thank you for your great desire for people to be saved and then to serve you. And I pray now the Holy Spirit would work in each of our hearts. You know the need of each of us individually this morning. I pray that you would meet that need and that you would accept the worship from our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And what's the next word? Many. And many shall what? Follow. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be what? Evil spoken of. So the truth is going to be spoken of as if it were evil. It's like Isaiah 5:20. They're going to call evil good and good evil. It's kind of like it is today, isn't it? Verse number 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved who? Noah, the what? Eighth person. A preacher of what? Righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them in what? In sample unto those that after should live how? Ungodly. So Sodom and Gomorrah was an example God set for those who after would live that same ungodly manner. Verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. We'll stop there. The first one in, or the last one, what really got my attention here was about Noah in verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. And I began to wonder, why does it call him there the eighth person? We're going to look at that today. Why does it call him that? How many of you like to go on vacations? Anyone? Okay. All right. When you go on a vacation, what family member is usually the first one out to the vehicle loading things in? Excited. Out there first, loading things in. Now I want you to think, what is the last family member? When you're ready to go on a vacation, who are you waiting for in the car? Who are you waiting to get in the car ready to go? And let me ask you now, is it different people or the same one? Is it the same one who was out there first loading gear in? Is that the one you actually end up waiting for at the end? Or is it a different person? Well, I'd like you to think about that in regard to Noah. The case with me, it probably is. I'm probably the first one out there at least doing something to the car. I don't know about loading gear in, but I've been known to be doing things like changing oil in the car half hour before we were supposed to leave, you know, those kind of tricks. or airing up the tires, or something I should have done probably a few days before, or washing the car, or vacuuming it out, something, you know, that I probably should have seen to before. So I'd have to confess. I might be the first one out there, and I'm probably the last one out there, too, to get out there and finally be ready with everything. I'm not like Brother Jim. I can't take off for the Rockies without a map. You know, I mean, if I just go up to the Mackinac Bridge, it seems like I need a map. One time coming home, I don't know what city it is up there, if it's around Houghton Lake or something, but they offer you two choices. Well, I took the left instead of the right, and so we took the scenic route when we really wanted to just get home. That's what we wanted to do, but I'm kind of notorious for that. One time we were coming by Washington, D.C., and we ended up down in Washington, D.C., so that's kind of, you probably don't want to follow me if you're going on a vacation. I'll take you probably where you don't want to go. But I found this interesting, verse 5. He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Now, we know eight people got on the ark. But was Noah the last one to get on? Why does it call him the eighth person? Why doesn't it call him the first person? Let's look in Genesis chapter 7. You might want to hold your place here with something. Probably be back here, Lord willing. But Genesis 7, the Bible does list Noah's name first when getting on the ark. But why does it call him then the eighth person? Why doesn't it call him the first person? Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11. Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered who? Noah. So in the selfsame day entered Noah, and Shem, and Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and who? Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. So this is kind of makes sense when you think about it. They're trying to supply a huge ship. It's 450 feet long. That's a football field and a half long. How would you like to make a ship that would stay together a football field and a half long? You're gonna need to know some things about engineering, I think, because otherwise that thing's gonna break apart when it tries to raise up. So 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. I don't know how wide a football field is. I don't know, but maybe you can enlighten me later on. But football field and a half long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. It was three stories high. It's no wonder it took him 100 years to build it. He's 500 when he starts, 600 when it's done. That is a huge ship. So he talked about, you know, when we go on a vacation for 2 or 3 days, our car seems like it's packed. I mean, it looks like we're ready to go for a month. But, you know, you never quite know what you might need. Amen? So you just pack the vehicle. Maybe you're not like that, but it seems like we are. Maybe I should say I am. I mean, I don't know what coat I'm going to need. If I go up to Mackinac Island in July, I don't know what coat I might need my winter coat, or I might not need a coat at all if you go up there. It might be cold, might be hot. So by the time you take some extras because you don't know what's going to happen, the vehicle fills up. But imagine trying to fill up an ark with supplies for two of every kind of land and air animal. And then by sevens, the clean animals were by sevens. So that would be quite a chore. So it's no wonder Noah, it lists Noah as entering first and his three sons. They were probably carrying all these things back and forth. You know, while Mrs. Noah and the ladies were cooking pies and all that other stuff, you know. Going to need a lot of pies for this journey. It's going to last a while. I used to enjoy when it was deer hunting time and My dad used to be in a group of Christian men that would go up deer hunting, and they would, the moms and wives and grandmas would cook all this wonderful food, and I don't think the deer hunters lost any weight on their expedition with all the goodies that was sent. So look in chapter 6, Genesis 6 here, in verse 17, Genesis 6:17. The Bible says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh," how many? "Two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all," what? "Food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee," and for who? "Them." Thus did Noah, according to all that the Lord, that God commanded him, so did he. Now, I've heard sometimes the people say, well, how could you ever feed that many animals for a whole year? We're going to see that the journey lasted a year, a little over a year. And then others said, well, maybe God had these animals hibernate, and so they didn't eat any food. Well, they ate some food at least, because the Lord tells them to gather food, not only for his family, but for all these animals. So it might very well be their appetites were subdued, being on the ark for that time. God could have put them into a sort of hibernation, although all animals don't hibernate, but he could have subdued their appetite, no doubt about that. But there's still a lot of supplies. And some people may ask, well, why would you need that many supplies for just a 40-day journey? Well, now we're going to get into those years. Notice in chapter 7 and verse 4, chapter 7 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth," how long? 40 days and 40 nights, "and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Well, you wouldn't need that much food for 40 days. After all, Moses, on two different occasions, fasted 40 days. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus fasted 40 days. But this journey, as I mentioned, is going to last more than 40 days. Now, notice his age in chapter 7 and verse 9. Chapter 7 and verse 9. "There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life." Okay, he's 600 years old. You may say, wait a minute, people don't live to be 600 years. No, they don't. Not now, but before the flood, they did. In fact, Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. You may say, how could that be? Well, there's been several ideas put forth on that, but the climate was much more mild before then. It had never rained before this point. God watered the earth by a mist. It was more like a paradise type atmosphere and climate. And they've also wondered if, because there was a water canopy, that if the oxygen pressure was actually greater. And if you've read anything about oxygen hyperbaric chambers, sometimes they put people that have very serious injuries that will not seem to heal, they'll put them in a hyperbaric chamber with a higher oxygen pressure, and they will heal. So many reasons could be, but nonetheless, after the flood, man's life expectancy drops off quickly to eventually where it is today. But in this time, Noah was, he was 600 years old in verse 6. And when the flood came upon the earth, and it's in verse 11 there, it's the 600th year of Noah's life in the second month. So you have to remember that. He's 600 in the second month, the 17th day of the month. That's when, verse 11, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. So God was flooding the earth by two ways. He opened the windows of heaven and he opened the fountains of the great deep. So water was coming down and gushing up from below for 40 days there as God destroyed every living thing off the face of the earth. So you look in chapter 7 and verse 23. And verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth, how long? 150 days. So if you count a 30-day month, that would be 5 months. 5 months the waters prevailed. And then as we see, in verse chapter 8 and verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. So the rain stopped. The water stopped gushing up from the earth. And then verse 3, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So at this point, we're in the seventh month instead of back in verse 11, the second month. So we're 5 months down the road, as I mentioned, and the waters now start decreasing. And then, let's go down a little further in verse 5. We're in chapter 8, verse 5. And the waters decrease continually until the what? The tenth month. So now we're down the road a little further. Remember, it was the second month back in 7-11. So now we're in the 10th month. So we're 8 months down there. And then it continually goes down. Eventually, verse 11, he'll send out a dove. And in verse 13, we're in chapter 8, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 600th and what? First year. So now he's 601 years old. In the first month, remember 7-11, he got on in the second month. So he's not quite a year has passed so far. But it's the first month, the first day of the month. The waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. When I was young, we couldn't wait for our spring to come. We had an old Volkswagen. We had taken off the body and shortened up the frame, and we had a little dune buggy, they called them. And we couldn't wait for spring, and we'd look out in the field, and the snow was all gone. And we couldn't wait to get out there. But do you know what we looked like when we got back? Covered with mud. Because it looked, you couldn't see the water anymore, but the ground was soggy. And we didn't have any fenders on that little dune buggy, and it just sprayed mud. It's kind of like your bicycle if you don't have any fenders on it, and you know how that looks. I saw someone's coat out here the other day that looked like that. It had a mud streak right up the back. So you know how that goes. So that's what we looked like, only much worse. All right. So they still had to wait a little bit until the ground dried further. And then finally in 8:14. And in the second month, okay, we're in the 601st year, the second month. Now we're a year, and the 7-20th day of the month was the earth dried. If you compare that back to 7-11, it was the 600 year of Noah's life, second month, 17th day. Now we're looking at 601, second month, 27th day. So we're talking about a year and 10 days. So from when they got on to when they got off, it was a 1 year and 10 days. That was a long journey for them. Why did it all happen? Because of sin. Because of sin. If you would turn back with me to chapter 6. Chapter 6. What caused the destruction of all of mankind except eight people? It was sin. Chapter 6. Remember what we read. And it came to verse 1, it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were what? Fair And they what? Took them wives of who? All which they chose. I mean, they're kind of acting like Solomon. They were looking for at the wrong things, first of all. They were looking for looks. They saw that the daughters of men were fair. They were basing their choice on looks, not on godly character. And they took all that they wanted, just like Solomon. I mean, imagine what the young men felt about Solomon. Just imagine. Imagine you knew a man who had 1,000 wives, and he was king, and he was the most wealthy. And so basically, he got all the young ladies that he wanted. How would you feel about him as another young man? Probably not too well. You would think, how selfish. How selfish. He could have chosen one. And 999 other young men could have had a wife. But he took 1,000. 1,000. So that wasn't too nice. But that's what they were doing here. And so verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So when God first made this statement, it was 120 years out from the flood. And of course, when he gives the direction, Noah's going to be 500 years old to build, and then at 600 years, he's going to be on the ark. So, but 120 years out, God warns. How many times have we been warned not to give our lives to sin? How many times have we listened to the warning not to give our lives to sin? But they did not listen. We read in the opening passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we read that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 100 years he built and preached. Jesus was a carpenter and preached. Noah was a shipbuilder and preached. But no one got on that ark but his wife, his three boys, and his three daughters-in-law. How do you think those three daughters-in-law felt when not one of their moms and dads or brothers or sisters got on that ark? What about Noah? Not one of his uncles or aunts or cousins? No one got on that ark but his immediate family. Imagine what it was like. You know, at the end, even Noah would give himself to sin, because after the flood is all over, Noah, as we read in the scripture, Noah gets drunk. And you may say, how could he do such a thing after preaching for 100 years about people, about that very thing? Don't do that. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Noah, how could you fall for the same thing? You know what? Many people drink to drown their sorrows. And after the floods, it's so quiet. It's like maybe when you have a family over, and then when company leaves, it seems so quiet. Imagine what the earth was like. It was so quiet after the flood. I don't know exactly why Noah did such a foolish thing. It brought a curse upon his own family, his own relatives. But he did it. Just warn us, when you're lonely, don't hit the bottle. Hit the Bible. Amen. Hit something that's going to help you, not hurt you. So we find in verse 8 here of Noah, of Genesis 6, but Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what? Walked with God. But just remember, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. I don't care how many years you haven't been without alcohol, or how many years you haven't been without tobacco, or how many years you haven't been involved in immorality. Given the right circumstances, giving your flesh its own way, just like David. David was a man after God's own heart. And yet, under the right circumstances, he fell into some of these very sins. So we think of what Noah was. What a godly testimony. It takes years to build a godly testimony and only a moment to lose it all. We cannot trust in the flesh. We must place our trust in the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, verse 8. And we need to rest in him. Notice in chapter 7, excuse me, in verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 14. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord, what? Shut him in. Now, who's the context? Verse 15, it's the animals are coming into Noah. It's Noah tending these animals. And then we find in verse 16 that the Lord shut him, singular, in. It didn't say the Lord shut the whole family in. It says the Lord shut him in. We see Noah busily still tending to all these last-minute things, filling up the ark, but God has to shut him in. Noah, you're not leaving this ship again. Time's up. I'm closing the door for safety. Maybe my family feels like doing that when it's vacation time. Quick, have Dad get in the car. Lock the doors. Let's go. Forget everything else. We just want to go. We want to get on the road. God shut him in. That's why I said to you, the first one out seemed like Noah was he's the first one listed going into the ark. But in this case, we find God has to shut him in. It seems like he's the last one, still getting things around. And God has to say, it's time, Noah. This is it. I'm shutting the door. Now, what's interesting is the Bible doesn't say God shut the world out, but he shut Noah in. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God that's shutting people out. It's that they will not come. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, John 3:18. It's not that God is shutting anyone out of heaven. He's not willing that any should perish. Ezekiel 33, he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way. That's repentance. Turn from his way and live. God is not shutting anyone out. The problem is there wasn't a line to get on. That's the problem. Here's this guy preaching for 100 years. They've been mocking him. He's building a ship on dry land, a football field and a half long, 75 feet wide, 3 stories, 45 feet high. You could see it from a distance. The crazy man. Still don't know how he ever found 3 daughters-in-law to marry his 3 boys, but he did. The crazy man. No one was lined up to get on the ship. God didn't shut him out, but he had to shut Noah in. Noah, it's time. It's time. You know what? All around us, can't we see time is running out? The world is getting tattooed. We were in some stores yesterday, and some people are covered with tattoos. And yet hasn't much of the world heard that there's coming one called the Antichrist that is going to make them take his mark or his name or his number in their forehead or in their right hand? But it seems like the world is ready to take a mark right now. Can't we see that the one world government is forming? I mean, we're seeing countries collapse financially. It's not just us, it's countries around the world are collapsing. Can't we see that the scene is being set for a one world leader that can control everyone's finances. Can't we see that there is a one world church forming? Doctrine doesn't matter anymore. Take off the name off the sign, just make it a generic name. That's all fitting in with a one world church. The problem is it's a false church. Can't we see it happening? But at one moment of time, it's not that God is going to shut the door on people. The problem is they are not lined up to get saved. And in a moment of time, God is going to catch home his bride, his people. Notice in Matthew 24 is actually referring to the end of the tribulation period, but it's the same terminology in reference to the rapture. We don't know the day nor the hour. We don't know the time. In Matthew 24, in verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is what? Near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also what? The coming of the Son of Man be. What we just saw in the days of the Lord's return, people are not going to be lined up for true salvation. Oh, they may be lined up at the false church. They may be lined up to get tattooed. They may be lined up to willingly sign up for a one world government. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also what? The coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 39, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. There was no line to get in to the ark. No line. How many people right now, America is having hard financial times. How many people are just lining up at church doors saying, I have got to repent of my sin. I see the time is running out. I haven't seen anything like that. Oh, I know the rock and roll churches are filled. But you know what? I don't hear repentance being preached. I don't hear a changed life, a new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I don't see that type of preaching in long lines. I see the electric guitars and the drums going wild. I see those places filled. Is it not just like the days of Noah? There was no line to get on the ark. And those people didn't know what was coming until the flood came and took them all the way. It was like the tsunami. I forget the name of the country. We've got a gospel track dealing with that. But when the really big tsunami hit some years back, people, they were not expecting it, at least not in those countries over by India and those areas. They didn't know what was coming. They saw the water receding way out, and some of them walked down there, and then they saw a wall of water coming, and for some of them it's too late. That is going to be what it's like when Jesus comes. It's going to happen. And it's going to be too late. You say, how do you know it's going to be too late for those people? Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Lord says, those that have pleasure in unrighteousness, those people are not ready. They're not ready. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of who? Satan, with all what? Power and what? Signs and what? Lying wonders. The Antichrist is going to come with power, signs, and lying wonders. Don't be looking for signs and wonders. The Antichrist is going to come with those. What you need to be looking at is the Word of God, so you can discern truth from error. You know, sometimes we're said, well, you're not willing to think outside of the box. Well, the problem is those people are not thinking outside of the box. They're thinking outside of the book, the Word of God. We need to think inside of the book. The Lord tells us the truth. And don't be led away with signs and wonders. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that what? Perish. Why did they perish? Because they received not what? The love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe what? A lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had what? Pleasure in unrighteousness. Is a saved person perfect? No. But when we give ourselves to unrighteousness, we're miserable. Because Hebrews 12, 6, God chastens us. And so God doesn't allow us to be comfortable in our sin. We're not perfect. We're far from perfect. But God makes sure we're not comfortable in our sin. We're very uncomfortable because he wants us to get right. So I want you to turn, if you would please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord is coming again. And don't expect people to be lined up to get saved because they see it. They don't see it right now. And how much more do we have to see? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the who? The eighth person. Why does it call him the eighth person? Well, as we have seen, he's first on the ark, preparing the ark, getting things ready for his family and the animals, but he's also the last one out there. He's the last one out there. He's in and he's out. He's in and he's out because he's a preacher of righteousness, it tells us in that verse. He wanted people to be saved, but God had to shut him in. Finally, God said, Noah, you've done all that I ask you to do. You've been preaching that grace. You've been preaching that repentance. Turn from your sin. The Lord will forgive you. Just turn from your sin to him. He'll cleanse you. But no, it's over now. I'm going to shut the door. No, I'm not shutting the door on the line. We were in a doctor's office this week, and a lady was not too encouraging to us. We were already, I don't know if it was 15 minutes, a half hour late, the doctor, we were waiting for the doctor. And one of the ladies was saying, yeah, I was here so many weeks ago, and I waited 3 hours to get in to see him. That's not what you want to hear when you're at the doctor's office. But we weren't there 3 hours. It wasn't that bad. But it wasn't that God is calloused and hateful, that there was a long line at the ark, and he just said, sorry, people, time's up. I know you want to be saved and you want to get on the ark, but hey, I got things to do, places to go, people to see. Close the door. No. There was no one. There was no line. Let me ask you a question today. Are you saved? If you're not saved, seeing this, are you ready to get in line? Are you ready to come to the Lord Jesus? Are you ready to say, Lord, I see my error. I see that man procrastinates. I see that man will enjoy his sin just as long as he can without getting right with you. And today, Lord, I realize I need to get in line. I need to get on that ark. I need to get saved before the door closes. If that's your feeling in your heart today, Brother Jim will be here at the front, ready to talk to you, to show you how to be saved. As Christians, are we like Noah? Are we the first one out there preparing, just like God said? It had never rained before, but Noah was out there, faithful for 100 years, building, 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 till the ark was done. And when it was complete, he was still calling people to come, come to safety, come to safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we like that? As Christians, we can certainly see the days are numbered, but what are we doing? Have we got our lawn chair on the ark and our iced tea? I mean, are we all set? Or do we care about anyone else? The days are so short. We've got to keep at it like Noah until the Lord tells each of us. Maybe the rapture. Or maybe the Lord will call us home some other way. I don't know. But until the Lord shuts the door, let's be like Noah. Let's be faithful. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Oh Lord, help us to be faithful. Father, I pray if there are any here today who are not saved or unsure about it, help them to see it's nothing to be unsure about. The Word of God gives us a guarantee in writing. When we obey what it says, we can know that we're saved. Lord, please work in our hearts. The days seem so short. And sometimes, yes, Lord, we get weary. It may seem like we've been going at it 100 years. But Lord, help us to not quit until you shut the door. Help us to be faithful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.